Well, good Sabbath and good morning to everyone here. Greetings from the seven of us from the Raleigh, North Carolina congregation, coming from the east coast of the United States, and truly this far western coast is absolutely gorgeous. Made a chance yesterday to go up to the northern side of the island, all the way up as far as the road would carry us. And I encourage you, if you haven't done that, do that. And there's a lighthouse up there. Please call ahead of time. Let them know if you'd like to get into the reserve. I think it's $10 a car. We were 15 minutes from being able to do that. So at any rate, beautiful pictures. You know, we have mountains and beaches in North Carolina too. A lot of them. Beautiful state, gorgeous state. You haven't been, need to go. But incomparable to what we're looking at here, where the beach and the mountains kiss each other. They're right there together. We have the same thing in North Carolina. You have mountains, Mount Mitchell, 6,684 feet, tallest peak this side of the Mississippi, and all the coastline you could want. But unfortunately, they're separated by about 7 hours drive time. So that being said, please take your Bibles and turn to or log on to or swipe to Matthew the 13th chapter, and we'll be looking at verses 34 and 35. You know them well, so I'm just going to go ahead and get started. Matthew 13, 34, 35. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. That prophet, for your information, probably not in your Bible margins, probably is in the reference section, Psalm 78, verse 2. Comes from the poet, songwriter, and prophet, Asaph. I will open my mouths in parables. I will utter things kept in secret from the foundation of the world. So, just earlier in verse 10, Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples. You know, it would have been great if I'd have turned over there with you. Verse 10, they had asked him, basically, why do you speak to them in parables? In verse 11, he says, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It was given to them, it's given to us, as we are them. But to others it had not been given, for whoever has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So effectively, when I look at a parable, I looked at this, I thought about these scriptures, it dawned on me, and I know and you know, a parable is a short story, right? It's a short story relatable to everyday life, but it has profound spiritual meaning for those who have eyes to see. And those who have ears to hear. Blessed are our eyes if they can see, and our ears if they can hear, and I'm certain they do. Each year we come to the Feast of Tabernacles, and we hope that these servant speakers will offer some glimpse into the kingdom that will give us inside energy, enthusiasm, passion for the kingdom of God, that we'll want it so much. When times get bad, as we've heard about, we will focus on that kingdom, that vision that we have. In this case here, Jesus Christ, in this series of scriptures, Jesus Christ gave us two parables for his disciples. He actually gave seven here, but I want to only focus on two. Two parables for his disciples, relatable to a deeper understanding of this very Feast of Tabernacles that we're celebrating. So we're getting to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago and listen to what he said about the kingdom. So for this message, I want to focus our attention on the fifth and the sixth parable. And that Christ can give us that glean, hopefully a deeper understanding of the kingdom of God and what this festival is foreshadowing for us we're celebrating here. So let's look at verses 44 and 45. Matthew 13, 44 and 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. A treasure in a field, which a man finds it, and he hid it, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. So then he told another parable, exactly like it, but not quite, with a nuance. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price. He went and sold everything that he had, and he bought it. So, interestingly, both of these parables say the same thing, don't they? Well, they don't quite. Like I said, there's a nuance, a discernible nuance that I hadn't picked up before until I was preparing this message. I have 3 points I want to share with you about these two parables, and I want to highlight the first one is the pursuit of the kingdom. I think these are messages that are deeper hidden meaning. If you don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, it'll be superficial what these parables mean. But with eyes to see, ears to hear, we should be able to dig a little bit deeper. So let's unpack these. Number one, my first thought here is the pursuit of the kingdom of God, which Jesus teaches us. What's the discernible nuance that stands out? First one, in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid. He wasn't searching for it. He just stumbled across it. He found it. The personality did. He recognized its value, and he determined to pursue it. The second one in the pearl of great price, verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking for fine pearls. He's looking for a pearl. He's looking for that treasure, right? He's proactively searching for it, already in pursuit of the pearl of great price. So, the first relatable takeaway, or at least deeper understanding, I believe, revealed here is, regardless how we came to know the truth of this kingdom, and we're sitting here in this audience today, God opened that door for us. Whether we unintentionally were looking for it or not looking for it, or whether we were actually searching for it. So, I got a question for you, and I can see a little bit vaguely. You'll be able to see anyway. The question is, which way did you come in? And I will just share, first of all, I was searching for it. At 20-something years old, 20 years old, 22 years old, I said, God, I want to find you. Help me find you. And he led me. What a twist and turn that was. But I was a person, because of us, you know, my life before, I was looking for the pearl of great price. But there are others who just stumbled into it. So I would like a show of hands. If you were the one that unintentionally came into the truth, please raise your hand. Those of you who were intentionally searching for the kingdom, please raise your hand. I think the unintentionally have more or more. So, that being said, what are we searching for? You know what? We're treasure hunters. We're all treasure hunters. What's critical is that once the kingdom is found, once we find it, whether we're searching for it or stumble across it, we're relentlessly, unyielding, unswervingly, unwaveringly in pursuit to gain it. Point number one, the pursuit of the kingdom. Point number two, the price of the kingdom. So the scripture reveals to us the price of the kingdom of God. In both parables, whether they stumbled across or they were searching for the treasure, both men, women, person, people, us, had the perception and recognized its incredible value and were undeniably willing to pay the purchase price. In fact, as we look here, what did they pay? The first one, again, looking for the treasure, found the treasure hidden in a field, found it, and for joy over it, he sold all that he had to buy the field. Second one, the beautiful pearl. The one who was looking and found that one pearl of great price went and sold everything he had, and he bought it. About 3 or 4 months ago, my wife, my family, and I went up to Washington, D.C., and we went to the Smithsonian Institution of Natural Science, and the Hope Diamond is there. Anybody there ever seen the Hope Diamond? The Hope Diamond, quite a few hands went up. 45.52 carat diamond, blue diamond, very beautiful in many respects, once worn by the Queen of France, Queen Marie Antoinette of France. 1958, it was donated as a gift to the Smithsonian Institution. As a permanent collection, its estimated value right now is $360 million. When I looked at it and I thought about it and I thought it was a gift that the person who owned it before wanted everybody to have an opportunity to come see it, I thought, what a waste. It's sitting there in that case. Nobody can touch it. That was a necklace that was designed to be worn. It was cut and fashioned. It's beautiful to see, and it's good that everybody can see it. But it's actually intended to be worn. Bottom line is, it was worth a lot of money. And what we're looking for is worth more than the Hope Diamond. Certainly worth more even than the pearl, but a pearl. But it's certainly the pearl of great price. So how much is the kingdom of God worth to you and me? What is it worth to us? Were we like these men, and for joy over it, sold everything they had. Are you willing enough to give everything for it? Do we have the spiritual acuity, the perception, to be able to see and recognize the incredible, incredible spiritual, mental, emotional, and intrinsic, spiritually intrinsic value of the kingdom of God? Are we willing? Are we ready? Are we prepared to pay the purchase price? Remember what it cost them? Everything they had. Please turn to Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke, the 14th chapter. Let's see what the kingdom is going to cost us. What's the price of the kingdom? 360 million. Luke 14, 25 through 33. Great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother, his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." We know he didn't mean hate, like we should hate sin. He's talking about to love less in comparison. Verse 27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me," we're not going to be able to be there. We're not ready to pay the price unless we're ready to bear the cross. Verse 28, "Which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" If you're going to be baptized, you're going to be baptized by a minister. You're going to be basically counseled by a minister and ask you, are you ready to pay the price or count the cost? And we need to be prepared to count that cost. If we've been baptized, we already counted it once. Let's not lose the price that we're willing to pay. Verse 29, if you don't count the cost and you're trying to build a tower, verse 29, "lest after he has laid the foundations, not able to finish it, and all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and wasn't able to finish." Wouldn't it be sad if we paid the price for the kingdom and then we were not able to make it all the way there? We had to stop. We would be ridiculed by those who know us best. Verse 31, what king is going to make war against another king doesn't sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with only 20? He only has 20,000. He has 10, they have 20. What do? You negotiate. Verse 32, "Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." So we have to let it all go. We have to be willing to pay the price, just like these two gentlemen that Jesus Christ referenced for us to take a look at. So we had the pursuit of the kingdom. We're all treasure hunters here. We have the price of the kingdom. We know it cost us everything, everything we have, everything we are. It cost it all. At 20 years old, I didn't know what I was getting into. But now I know what I was getting into, and I still pay the price for everything. Remember the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler, right? Confronted the King of Kings, and he was a king himself. And he said, "All you've got to do is sell everything you got and come follow me." And he walked away sorrowful because he had much. He's going to be ridiculed. We ridicule him today. Number three, priority of the kingdom. So now we have the priority of the kingdom. Please turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Oh, we know the scripture so well. If we have truly discovered and found or tripped over or was searching for and found the hidden treasure of the kingdom, the pearl of great price, and we have assessed its spiritual intrinsic value and above and beyond everything else, we've committed to sell all. We'll give everything up. Jesus Christ, we'll give it all and follow you to gain it. There's only one final thing left for the reality of inheriting the kingdom of God, and that is just to ensure that we keep the kingdom of God our number one priority. For something to be our number one priority, of course, everything else cannot be greater than number two, right? It's got to be number one. Matter of fact, I don't know if something can be your priority and you have two or three or five or ten of them. Your priority is the kingdom of God. Our priority is, again, everything else is two or less. To gain the kingdom of God, we must never allow ourselves to be distracted. And life can be so distracting, can it? Challenges, problems, troubles, trials, working, everything. Not be distracted from the priority of the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Final scripture. Therefore, do not worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink, nor what we're going to wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You worry about tomorrow, you've given it more time than it really, really deserves. Can't worry about yesterday, it's done. It's a done deal. Can't go back and undo it. Don't we wish we could? Now, Jesus Christ can take care of that, though. So, how are we going to know if we've made the kingdom of God our number one priority? How do you know? How would you know? How would I know? I say it is, but how do I know? I'm going to ask you to write down, if you would like, three scriptures. I'm not going to turn over there for the sake of time. But it's really quite simple. Number one, how do we know the kingdom of God is our priority, number one priority? It will be evident in our daily prayers. So what Christ tells us to pray in this very chapter, first thing after you praise God, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is, and who is to come. After we praise him, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's got to be the priority of the prayer, doesn't it? Priority of the prayer. With what sense of urgency do we pray for the kingdom? We've been certainly enjoying the kingdom here. But how much have we prayed for the kingdom here in our prayers? Maybe not that much because we're experiencing it. But what about outside these walls? How many people aren't experiencing it yet? God, please feed your kingdom. The second thing, it'll be evident in our hearts. It'll be evident in our hearts. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 32 and 34 says, where your treasure is, there your hearts will be also. Everybody is a treasure hunter. Everybody is a treasure hunter. They're looking for the treasure of their life. What is our main heart's desire? Is it the kingdom of God? Where's our treasure? Is that where we're investing all of our time, our hearts? In our hearts, it'll be evident. And thirdly, it'll be evident in our communication and how we talk with one another. Because Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What do we find ourselves talking about? That's how you know. That's how you know what your priority is. All we have to do is consider about what we talk about most. So to conclude, back to Matthew 13. To conclude, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid and for joy over it, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it.